President Michel and EU-China relations. What is the role of Charles Michel, President of the European Council, in the relationship between China and the European Union? My name is Julia Borges.
And my name is Giulio Croce.
And today we will attempt to answer this question. This podcast is the result of the work done throughout the spring semester of 2023 by students from the University of Bologna, Simone Ambrosio, Alessia Boy, Giulio Croce, Annalisa Uri, Lasse Huxol, Abdullah Kaya, and Julia Borges in the framework of the Workshop on Skill Development on European Union Foreign Policy Analysis directed by Professor Elena Baracani. Throughout the semester, we have analyzed, through an actor-centered approach, Charles Michel's role towards China, using both empirical evidence and theoretical frameworks. In this podcast, it will first be assessed the role of the President of the Council of the European Union in dealing with European foreign policy, considering its peculiar position as mediator among heads of state or government of the member states of the Union. Second, we will analyze the personality of the incumbent President. Finally, it will be presented the ideas of the President regarding China in the relations between Beijing and Brussels. In particular, there will be a focus on the main priorities that the European Council has in this regard, the most important objectives that are aimed to be achieved, and also the main tools set out to do so. In conclusion, there will be an evaluation of President Michel's performance in dealing with EU-China relations. In this first part, I will try to explain better the role of the President. In a few words, the President of the European Council has the role to chair the meetings of the Council, to represent the Union externally and vis-à-vis other European Union institutions, to set the provisional agenda, and finally to facilitate cohesion and consensus among member states. It is a relatively new post, as it became a permanent and full-time role in 2009. The President is elected by the European Council, and this way, a head of state or a head of government of the different member state is chosen to serve a 2.5-year term, which can only be renewed once. The only limitation to the appointment is the prohibition of holding a national office while serving the term as Council President. Interestingly, the first ever president was Herman Van Rompuy, former Belgian Prime Minister, much like the incumbent president Charles Michel. Apparently, most member states favor a president of the Council originally from Belgium. We could argue that such preference is suggested by the fact that Belgium is a federal state and had to deal with the conflictual nature of its two main components, the Flanders and Wallonia. For this reason, Belgian presidents would seem to have an entrenched capacity of governing multi-identity entities and of being more impartial to its own national interests when compared to other countries. The most important feature of the President of the European Council is that it is aimed to protect and promote the interests of the member state as a group, while the Commission and its president are supposed to serve the interests of the European Union, broadly intended. Even the Treaty on European Union, one of the founding treaties, sets the role of the President to facilitate cohesion and consensus within the European Council, that is to say, among member states. This is coupled with the President's role of representing the Union abroad on matters related to the common foreign security policy and representing the Council inside the Union in relations with other institutions. Indeed, this reflects the two logics always in the background when the European Union acts. While some issues are dealt with entirely in a supranational way, other issues, considered most sensible by member states, are addressed instead in an intergovernmental way. But what does it mean? In short, in those domains in which member states do not feel comfortable relinquishing too much sovereignty to Brussels, all member states have a de facto veto, as they must agree on the issue with unanimity in order for the Union to adopt a decision. The supranational way is substantially the opposite, meaning that for certain issues, only a double qualified majority is required. That is, at least 55% of member states, so 15 out of 27, representing at least 65% of the European Union population. Even more than voting procedures, the supranational intergovernmental division has as much to do with one's understanding of the role of member states in the Union as the role of the Union itself. Put simply, intergovernmentalists ascribe to the member states the highest importance, meaning that sovereignty is delegated only in those areas which are not seen as prerogative of the state, meaning that member states remain the fundamental reference point in the Union. Supporters of supranationalism, instead, envision a more federalist Union, where all issues will in the end be dealt with by European institutions. This translates to a less relevant role for states in the configuration of the Union. As the common foreign security policy is decided upon by unanimity, following the intergovernmental method, the President of the Council will try to mediate among member states so that a common position can be achieved, without at the same time leading to some member states losing too much in terms of national interests. This often means that negotiation results in lowest common denominator decisions. However, this is not always true. As this dynamic is at play, the presidents should try to be receptive to possible sensitive topics and address them accordingly. Avoid proposing an overt vote, which could damage the position of the head of state or head of government back home, and propose to conclude the talks only once they feel that a consensus has been reached among member states. This means that we can expect the European Council to be very worried to make any bold statements in matters of foreign policy unless member states have already reached a consensus, while you're treating lightly unsensitive issues. More generally, we can expect the president to be very vocal and assertive about defending the greater weight that member states have in foreign policy, sometimes leading to controversies such as the Sofagate episode on April 2021. However, it is relevant to state that the president of the council is not a mere mediator among parties, as the figure has the power to shape the agenda of the council according to his personal views and beliefs. We will now analyze the personality of the incumbent president. President Michel mentioned that he has an European background in an interview in December 2019. Born in 1975 in Namur as the son of Louis Michel, a former Belgian foreign minister and later EU commissioner, he often refers to a childhood and youth deeply characterized by European values like peace and reconciliation. As he went on to study law in Brussels, he soon made his formative European experience with his Erasmus in Amsterdam, something that made him into an European, as he stated. He entered politics just after he graduated and became a lawyer, so his political career started early as a member of parliament for the Belgian Liberals. When taking a look at Charles Michel's personal life, it might be also useful to take a look at his father's political affiliation. Louis Michel is a prominent Belgian politician who served as a Belgian Minister for Foreign Affairs between 1999 and 2004, and as a member of the European Parliament from 2009 to 2019. He's one of the most well-known figures of the Mouvement Réformateur, of which his son was the president later on. The liberal values Charles Michel inherits from his father and his political party manifest themselves in his political career. Michel has been the champion of economic liberalism, labor market deregulation, and public spending cuts during his time as the Prime Minister of Belgium. Overall, Michel's personal and political affiliation with the liberal Mouvement Réformateur, industry and investment-friendly policies may suggest that Michel is likely to be political centrist and pragmatic in his approach to governance. He may prioritize economic and trade relations with other countries, namely China, at the expense of more normative approaches, including human rights issues. So, when we talk about personality, can we identify a specific experience, achievement, or character traits that qualify Charles Michel for the presidency of the European Council? Well, first of all, he was socialized in the Belgian political system, a fact that is not trivial. Succeeding there requires the ability to moderate different parties and opinions, as there is a fragmented political landscape. Government formations take long, and leadership needs to bring together different views and still maintain working ability. Michel proved this when he became Belgian Premier in 2014 and stayed in the office until 2019. Second, his former office and his previous roles in Belgian government showed his abilities to work within an institutional framework and, of course, to work with the institutions of the European Union and the heads of states and governments, his former colleagues. And third, his liberal and pro-European views not only fitted, but also his rather low-profile style was very acceptable for his former colleagues in the Council. It would have probably been much unlikely to appoint a former prime minister known for his confrontative attitude. All in all, he seemed like a logical choice, a pro-European moderator, experienced, well-known, and lastly, not to forget, from a country that is quite navigated with mediation and which does not trigger fears from hegemony as a major European country.
Let us now consider the actions undertaken by the European Council towards the object of our analysis, the People's Republic of China. We will assess first the main priorities of the Council in this regard, then we will summarize the European objectives in the relations with Beijing, and finally we will analyze the tools created with this aim. For this study, we use as main references speeches given by President Charles Michel on several occasions during his mandate, specifically the G7 summit in Hiroshima of March 19, 2023, the report of the European Parliament plenary session of March 29, 2023 and of March 15, 2023, the Going Big for EU Industry article of January 16, 2023, the remarks of President Michel following the meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping of December 1, 2022, and the EU-China summit Restoring Peace and Stability in Ukraine is a Shared Responsibility of April 1st, 2022. From these speeches, the top priority that would seem to emerge are the unbalanced economic relations between the European Union and the People's Republic of China. This makes sense given the importance of trade relations between Beijing and European member states. In addition, it is relevant considering what we said before, both about the President of the Council protecting and promoting the interests of member states as a group, and about Michel's political orientation making him more concerned with economic and trade relations. A term used extensively throughout his speeches is the level playing field, which is currently lacking in EU-China relations. The concept is used in commerce and trade to describe a situation of fairness. In the case of EU-China relations, it refers to the aim of reaching a situation in which the Chinese market and the EU market guarantee the same openness and transparency, avoiding distortive practices. More specifically, he mentioned during the G7 forum in Hiroshima on March 19, 2023, that open trade is the European DNA, adding to what he declared on December 1, 2022, following the meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping. In this event, he set out the difficulties faced by EU companies and investors, as on the European side, market access remains very open, while in China, several sectors remain much more closed. President Michel also denounced unfair practices pursued by China in his article Going Big for EU Industry of January 16, 2023, where he outlined, for instance, how China is refusing to play by free market rules as it continues to directly invest state money in key industries of strategic importance. Other relevant priorities of President Michel certainly are security issues, climate change, and the respect of human rights in China. More specifically, Michel stated that there is no other option for the European Union but to engage with China on global issues, including those relating to climate change and global health, leaving a hint about the lack of transparency from Beijing during the managing of the COVID-19 pandemic. In addition, security and the defense of the current liberal international order is mentioned in the request to President Xi Jinping to confront Russia with the illegal invasion of Ukraine in 2022. President Michel also stressed the importance of security in the field of artificial intelligence and cyberspace, referring, for instance, to the 5G network provided by Huawei and recent cyber attacks in Europe. Finally, although we can see them more frequently mentioned in speeches, President Michel's remarks and comments on climate change and the respect of human rights in China, especially concerning the Uyghur minority in Xinjiang and Hong Kong, seem to be more generic. This said, we can safely state that the top objective of the European Council is to balance the economic relations between China and the European member states. Moreover, President Michel stated in multiple speeches that it is a goal of the Council to de-risk and not decouple from China, and this applies not only to economic matters but also has security implications. Michel mentioned both at the G7 summit in Hiroshima on March 19, 2023, and in the EU-China summit of April 1, 2022, that given its role in the international community and the size of its economy, China has a special responsibility in the world. He claims Beijing has to play by international rules and strive for trustworthy, ethical uses of artificial intelligence and a responsible state behavior in the cyberspace. In addition, the Council would also seem to be preoccupied to ensure cooperation with Beijing in the mitigation of climate change and to exhort President Xi to address human rights violations in Xinjiang and Hong Kong. Concerning the tools at disposal of the Council to achieve these goals, given the position of its president as mainly a mediator among the member states, it goes without saying that they are different in scope and structure from those available to the European Commission. In a sense, the tools at disposal of the Council rely more on diplomacy and relations among different governments than on policy making and enforcement. Charles Michel reiterates often the crucial importance of China as a global actor and as a permanent member of the UN Security Council. As peace and stability are two of the fundamental principles that are embedded in his posture concerning the EU priorities, he appeals for a rule-based world that respects the UN Charter principles and the international law as a whole, especially regarding the invasion of Ukraine scenery. For this reason, talking about the tools in his hands and given his personal beliefs, he set in the Council agenda to resume several EU-China dialogues, which are platforms intended to help policymakers to gravitate towards consensus through socialization and regularization of relations. Fair economic relations are the major goal of Michel, but at the same time, the Council does not have the proper tools to enforce it as the Commission or Member States. Thus, his leverage is to keep mentioning the necessity to reach a level playing field in every diplomatic occasion. Considering the concerns over cybersecurity, President Michel stated that the EU and China will resume the high-level digital dialogue. Considering human rights, Michel stated that the Council will focus more on the EU-China human rights dialogue that has stopped for 3 years during the COVID pandemic but resumed in February 2023. In this last meeting, it was discussed some European concerns related to the persistent restriction on the exercise of fundamental freedoms, use of forced labor, limits on due process rights, and lack of judicial independence in China. In doing so, the EU highlighted the particularly vulnerable situation of Uyghurs, Tibetans, and persons belonging to religious, ethnic, and linguistic minorities across the country. It also stressed the deterioration of the right to have freedom of expression in Hong Kong. Besides that, it is part of Michel's plan to engage more and more with China on climate change and global health. Regarding the latter, Michel talks about international cooperation precisely on the initiative to have a pandemic treaty to prevent or avoid a future situation like the one of COVID-19. Concerning the climate change issue, on top of his program's priorities is the Paris Agreement, calling the attention of China to follow up its commitments to stop and reduce its emissions before 2030. In conclusion, to evaluate our studies, it emerges that Charles Michel is a moderate figure given his personal life and formative experiences in a coherent way with what is usually looked for in the figure of the President of the European Council. We believe that, in addressing the EU's foreign policy towards China, he is behaving coherently to his role. By analyzing Michel's postures as a politician, it is possible to perceive how moderate and cautious he is, not only as the President of the European Council, but also in the previous political positions he held. It may seem obvious, but the fact that Michel is all the time reiterating that dialogue is the key to his diplomatic relations and of course for representing democratic nations, it shows that soft power is his chosen conduct. When we pick his interactions, speeches and statements regarding China as a study case to understand his posture, we were able to check that he is very aware of the words he chooses with the Chinese president. He behaved in a very diplomatic and careful way, even when advising China to behave according to international rules. This is part due to his moderate conduct, but also, most importantly, due to the importance of maintaining China as a strategic partner in their long-term relations. It isn't easy to determine if his actions and goals regarding China have been achieved, because he got his position of President of the European Council some months before the COVID-19 pandemic hit. In this sense, most of EU-China priorities were put aside for a period of time. As in spring 2023, he has set up in the agenda to resume several platforms to continue having China and the European Union socializing and converging towards consensus on several topics. But it is important to keep in mind that he is at the end of his last mandate and his priorities are inevitably changing. We sincerely hope you enjoyed this podcast and we thank you for your attention.